I was talking with someone the other day about the weather, and that's what we do, you know, and we don't want to have deep conversations. We talk about the weather or sports, right? I was talking with somebody the other day about the weather, and, you know, this year was kind of odd. It was cool early, and I was wondering if summer would ever show up, and then it happened. All of a sudden, summer was here, right? It got hot, sticky, and all that. Summer is here, and some of you have planted gardens. Now, I have to ask you a question. Why in the world does anybody plant a garden? You like to eat? Okay, yeah. You know, they have the stores around here. You can just go buy that stuff. Probably a whole lot less work. Maybe even cheaper. I'm not sure. I see some of you out there in your gardens working. Well, the reason you plant a garden, and I have been tempted, barely, to do that myself, is because of the produce that you're going to get from the garden, right? You do that to get something out of it, the production. Now, why does a farmer plant a crop? A few years ago, I saw a commercial for DeKalb, corn seeds. I think it's actually pronounced DeKalb because it's from Illinois. But they had a slogan that went with their seeds: strong roots, strong stalks, strong yields. If you're a farmer, why do you farm? To grow something, to produce something, to have a yield. And if you got out there and did all that work and got nothing in return, you'd kind of go, what in the world am I? I'm not a good farmer, right? Y'all with me, okay? And so the goal of a garden is fruit. The goal of God for us is fruit. Y'all with me? Did you know God's a gardener? God's a farmer? Excuse me. God has planted people. We're his garden. He wants to produce fruit for his pleasure through us. And you and I were created by God for a purpose: to produce fruit. And that's what I want to talk to you about a little bit this morning, just for a few minutes. If you'll take your Bible and turn to John 15, we want to look at this connection. Now, Jesus spoke of this issue when he shared his thoughts about the vine and the branches. You're probably familiar with this story. It's a pretty common text that we use from time to time to talk about different things. And what he was telling the disciples who were listening is a fundamental and essential idea, that they were called to be productive. And the way they were going to do that was only one way, is if they would be connected to the vine. As I was studying this text, getting ready for this morning, I came across a thought that I had never experienced with this particular text. It was an unusual thought in that the people in Jesus' day would have heard these words as utterly radical. And you're going, what do you mean? The people in the Old Testament had heard a lot about vines and connection and those kind of things. You remember when the people of God got to the promised land the first time, and they sent in the 12 spies and they came back out? Do you remember one of the things they carried with them was a vine with like grapes on it, and these massive, huge grapes and those kind of things? And the people of God began to think about themselves in an unusual way. And what Jesus does in this text, I want you to see, is going to be to shatter that thought. They began to think of themselves as the vine. That they were the most important people on planet Earth, that the world basically revolved around them, and that if you were going to know God, you needed to come to us. Y'all with me? And Jesus steps into the moment and says these words. Follow along with me as I read. Jesus says to them, "I am the true vine." That's radical for them. I believe it's radical for us. We'll see in a moment. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser." Verse 2, "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You," y'all with me, "are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he is it that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Father God, I pray that as we look at this text this morning, that God, you would reveal to us this life-changing truth that Jesus is the vine. Jesus is the source of life. Jesus is the one who gives us a life worth living. Jesus is the one who provides for us everything we need. And Father, if we're not connected to him, then Father, we will be worthless, good for nothing. But if we're connected to Christ, we find a life worth living. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I tried to be alliterative with the outline this week, and it just wasn't going to happen, so I just went all over the map. So just bear with me as we work through the story. What Jesus does here in verse 1 is this. He claims to be the true vine. This is, as I've already said, is a startling, shocking statement, because what he tells those listening, what he's telling us as we read this text, is this. We are not the center of the universe. Some of you would say, well, I get that. Yeah, but can I just be blunt? I can, but will you let me? Many of us live our lives as if we are what? The center of the universe. That everything is dependent on us, that everything flows from us, that if it wasn't for us, the world would fall apart. And what Jesus is getting here, and I don't want us to rush past this thought, what he's saying is to a culture that was indoctrinated with the idea that they were the vines, that they were the most important people on planet Earth, is this: they're not. That's a hard thought for us to get. You remember this idea of vines started back with the people who, when they went in to check out the promised land, they came out, and one of the things they brought was that massive vines. But this idea developed even further to the point where when Solomon built the first temple, and then they rebuilt the temple after the exile. They went so far as to decorate their building in such a way that illustrated that they were the vine. There's some beautiful imagery if you look on different sources of the pillars that held up the temple itself. They took intricate gold and made vines that wrapped around those pillars that held up the building, these massive pillars, to illustrate that they were the ones who had built this place, that they were the ones that were the center of the world, that they were the ones who were in charge of all this. And what Jesus speaks to them here and says very plain is this: no, you're not. No, you're not. You're not the vine. You're not the one that is the most important person on planet Earth. Let me tell you, for you and me and myself included, we struggle with that thought, because we really have this idea that we carry, and I think we were raised with it, and we definitely were born with it because of our sinful nature, and it's this idea that we are important. Now, modesty says we can't say that. Y'all with me? But the reality is, that's how we live. It's endemic to who we are. And so what he's doing in this passage is he is calling for a radical shift in their thinking. Because if they were going to be the people that God wants them to be, if they were going to live out the life that God had for them that was so much better than what they could do on their own, they would have to understand they've got to be connected to something greater than them. They can't be the source. They can't be the vine. They can't be the one that gets it all going. See, those listening to him, and I think even us here today, we wrestle with this idea. We wrestle with this thought. Is Jesus the source of your life, or are you in charge? Is Jesus the boss, or are you? Is Jesus the one leading my life, or am I? How you answer that question is very, very foundational to the way we live and has great ramifications. So come on down to verse 2 and 3. Every branch is going to get inspected. All branches are inspected. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Now notice what he just told us. It doesn't matter where you are in life, no matter what you're doing, where you come from, what you're about, you're going to get inspected. Are you bearing fruit? great. If you're not, not so good. If you are, great. You're going to get pruned. Verse 3, already you are clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. So notice what's going on here. He says, Jesus is the vine. God is the vine dresser. Every one of us takes part in the plan, but we aren't the vine. We're the what? We're the branches. And so as we live out our lives as branches, we're going to get checked out. It's kind of like a farmer, right? A gardener comes in and looks at the produce and sees what's going on, breaks off and takes away the vines, the branches that are not healthy, so that they can begin to become more productive as a plant. And he carefully takes the time to inspect the fruitfulness of each branch, making a decision. A couple of years ago, I bought me a rose bush. Actually, I bought two of them, and I decided I would put them on the front of our house because I thought they'd be a pretty place for them. First year I had those plants, you know what they grew? Nothing. Nothing. You know why? They're on the wrong side of the house. What do you mean? Well, the front's where you want the pretty flowers, right? You with me? The problem is my house faces north, so they were in the shadows all the time. They never had any sun. They never did very well. They did terrible. So the next year, I moved them to the back, the south side of the house. Guess what they're getting now? Lots of sun. Guess what else they're doing? Making beautiful roses. But here I got to tell you something. Those beautiful rose bushes, if I don't go out from time to time and trim off and cut off the old ugly parts that have died off, you know what begins to happen to that plant? Y'all know. Y'all are smarter than I am. I'm no farmer. I'm a hunter, remember? They start to not look so good, right? They start to look nasty and disgusting. They don't grow very well. They don't put out pretty flowers that I can take in and give to my wife. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't happen. That's what he's talking about. Every branch is going to be inspected. Somebody once said this, we inspect what we expect. You know, if I'm gone for a week, like this coming week, I'll be gone with the kids to camp. Pray for me. Pray for them. Anyway, we're going to be at camp. Nobody's going to touch my rose bush this week. I promise you. Nobody. That's not a criticism. It's just the reality. Nobody's going to look at them, okay? And by the end of the week, I'm going to have to do some work on them because there's things going to die. They're going to be going here. What he's saying is God is going to come into our lives and inspect us and check us out and see what's going on. He's going to make some decisions. And he steps into the vineyard with the best of intention, filled with amazing love, because why? He wants the best from you. So Jesus claims to be the true vine. All branches are inspected. Productive branches are what? Those are the ones that are connected. Look at verses 4 and 5. Abide in me, he says. And that, we could just camp out right there, couldn't we? This idea of abiding. This relational connection that we have with God. Abide with me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, is what he's telling us. So what he's saying is, we're going to inspect the branch. He's going to check out the branch. He's going to be the one who comes into the garden and says, yeah, this branch is connected. This one's growing. This one needs some pruning. This one needs some work. And if you're not abiding, you're not going to be productive. I don't think this is a real complicated sermon this morning, can I tell you? As I'm thinking about these things again, as we're working through it, what Jesus is clearly communicating to his followers is a simple truth that says this: if you as a branch are not connected to the vine, you won't be productive. But if you are connected, you're what? You're going to produce fruit. You're going to have the things that happen, that God wants to happen in your life. So some connected branches are going to produce a lot. Some are going to produce little, but every one of them is connected. And the simple truth is this: if you're not connected, we got problems. I got to tell you, and as I read these thoughts, and I'm thinking to myself as I work through the sermon this week, and I'm talking with you this morning, I was thinking, man, that's so contrary to our thinking, isn't it? We go, well, I don't need to be connected to anybody. I don't need anybody else's help. I'm good enough. I'm smart enough. I'm strong enough. I can handle it on my own. Can I confess something this morning to you? I'm not smart enough. Yeah, you already knew that. I'm not strong enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not on my own. I can't do it. Why? Because that's where we find we're connected to the vine, and then God is able to then work in our lives and accomplish great things that we could never do on our own. Let me just, I've been in my fifth year with y'all. Yeah, it only seems like 20. I'm in my fifth year with y'all, and I've got to know some of y'all pretty well. You know, we've got a lot of talent in this church. Did you know that? We got folks in this church that are smart, intelligent, creative. Y'all are so good, I can't come up with all the adjectives to go with it. Y'all with me? And if we're not careful, here's what begins to happen in our lives. We start saying, well, I can do this, and I can do that, and we can do this, and we can do this, and you and I can get together, and we can accomplish. Y'all with me? And we can do some amazing things. But if we're not connected to the vine, are they the best things? Productive branches are connected branches. But then he flips the coin. The other side of it is this. Verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is what? Thrown away. Like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, they're thrown into the fire, and they're burned. They're discarded. Now, you're going, no, wait a second, Patrick, you don't get to decide which branches are productive and which ones aren't. No, I don't. Who's the vine dresser? Verse 1, who's the vine dresser? God is. So it's not you and it's not me. We don't get to come along and say, well, you know, that Larry Bogan guy, we need to do this, we need to do this, and he need to get rid of here. No, that's not my place. That's God's place. You with me? So look what he says. The second conclusion made by the vine dresser is those branches that are not connected to the vine will either have to be destroyed. You know, that doesn't sound very loving. Actually, it is. You know, grapevines are kind of interesting plants. It seems it is possible, and I didn't know that until I was studying a little bit this week, that a dead grapevine branch can look like it's connected, but it's not. And the way you know that is not by tracing the branch back to where it connects to the vine. The way you know that is you look down the vine to see what's growing. And if there's nothing growing in the vine, then you got a problem inside the plant. And you may not even know that from the outside, just by a casual observation. But a vine dresser looks at it and says, we got an issue here, and I want to deal with it. So I'm grateful that I don't have to have that role, aren't you? But I'm also grateful that God is willing to step in and say, I will serve in that role. I will care for those plants, and I will make sure that the vine is able to be productive and the branches are able to be productive because the dead branches are not pulling away from the bigger picture. If a branch chooses to not abide in the vine, there comes a moment when the branch is what? It says right there in the text, gathered, thrown in the fire, burned. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time here, but I want you to get the idea here. Vine branches are good for nothing when they're dead. Olive branches, here's a little thought for you. Olive branches, if they're dead, you know you can make things out of those. Vine branches, you know what they're good for? The fire. That's it. One more thought before we try to apply it. Ultimately, productive branches are what? Are the fruitful ones. We've already kind of been dancing around this issue and we got to it. Here we are. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it'll be done for you. Now, what Jesus makes clear here is this. Those branches that are dead, we're gonna clean out. Those branches that need to be pruned are going to be pruned. And those branches that are connected to me are going to be what? Fruitful. There's going to be an outcome here. And the outcome of the productive branch is this. They're so in tune with the true vine that when they go to ask God for something, what do they ask for? The stuff that they would be asking for because they're connected. So therefore, God's going to do what he's asking them to do. Have you ever noticed, and there's a text somewhere else we can maybe put in sermon plan for next year, but there's a text that talks about us asking amiss, we don't get because we don't ask and those kind of things. But he also has a text that talks about us asking, and we ask, and he does it. Why? Not because we're asking selfishly, but because we're asking in God's will and his purpose and his plan. That's what he's getting at this. Every branch that's connected to the true vine produces fruit. Will they have bad grapes from time to time? Yeah, sure. But the overall direction is positive. Three thoughts that I want to be done. First, where do we find real life? Where do we find real life? Well, in family, right? Where do we find real life? In work. Where do we find real life? In financial success. Where do we find real life? You already know my answer. I've already got on the screen there. It's great. Where do we find real life? In Christ. That's what Jesus is telling those who are listening that day. I want you to consider from this passage this thought. Is this deep, serious, abiding call from Jesus to find the real purpose in life? You know, God didn't create you to spend 60, 70, 80 years wandering through this life. He didn't create you just to fill a spot. He created you for obedience. He created you for righteousness. He created you to worship him. He created you to receive glory from you. And I gotta ask the question, how many of us can really say that's our lives? You know, it's already June this year. You know, this year's almost half over already. How'd the first half go? Some of your life is half over. How'd the first half go? Some of you are at 75%. How'd the first three quarters go? When we remove the mask that so many of us wear and speak the straight out truth, can we just be honest this morning? Most of our lives are probably more often characterized this way. Our righteousness is more often a self-righteousness. A thousand things are our focus of worship besides God. We live our lives in rebellion to his call for us, and we really want to seek our own glory instead of his. But that's not how God created us. You know, I've been on Facebook for quite a while. I don't Facebook within my church membership because my office is here on campus, and I have a phone number you all have on the back of your bulletin in case you didn't realize that, and you can call me anytime you want to so we can talk. But one of the things I've noticed about social media is that most people, myself included, we post stuff on there so that people will look at it and go, oh, aren't they amazing? Isn't their life so well put together? When was the last time you put on their parents that your kid got a C, you know? Right? We don't go, well, unless your kid finally got a C and maybe you're excited. That's a different story. We live our lives, folks, trying to put meaning in our lives and a reality to our lives that in the end, you don't find anywhere else but in Jesus. Because why? He is the vine. That's our source of life. That's our source of reality. I'm convinced that people who don't know Christ are pretty miserable and they live without hope. But for those of us who claim to be in fellowship with him, with the true vine, too often our lives are so self-centered, we don't look much different than those who aren't connected. Have you really tasted and seen the goodness of God? Have you experienced his presence or not? So real life is found in Christ. Here's another thought as I was thinking through this, and it's pretty simple. I'm just telling you, it's this. It's that rejecting the vine is deadly. Rejecting the vine is deadly. That's the second thing I want you to see today. Rejecting the offer of God to connect to him and to be a part of his kingdom and a part of his plan in the end is deadly. Now, I wasn't living here in 2001, but I have heard stories of the ice storm. Some of you go, oh yeah, I remember that storm. Do you know that every time the wind blows very strong, I experienced the ice storm of 2001. You're going, huh? I'm not transported back in time, and I'm not all out in this esoteric weird thing. Listen, I've got a couple of big trees on the place we live. Every time the wind blows, you know what falls out of those trees? You know, dead limbs from 2001. 2001 was 17 years ago. So for 17 years, there have been limbs up in these trees that have set up in these trees that have taken space in these trees that have given shade from those trees that were what? Dead. Dead. I got a cedar tree on my property that the tree actually in the ice storm flipped over backwards in the top. The top went over, and the only reason it's still up there is I'm too lazy to climb up in the tree and cut it out. And it's ugly, and you can't see it from anywhere but from the back of the house, so who cares is the way I look at it. It'll eventually fall out, and I will cut that thing up and burn it and throw it away. You with me? But here's what I want you to understand. Every time the wind blows, I have to go out there, and I try to get the kids to help me do this, and that's like, you know, pulling teeth. But we go out there, and we pick up all these limbs. I mean, I'm talking trailer fulls of them, you know? And then we carry them over, and we burn them and get rid of them. Why? Because they're worthless. That is an illustration of what Jesus is talking about in this text. You can be in the tree. You can lay around in the limbs. But if you're not connected to the vine, y'all with me? You're dead. I think there's a dark side to this point Jesus is making in this parable. Jesus came to offer what? Death? No. To give us no life? No. He called us to what? Experience real life. A life worth living, a life worth experiencing. And the way we do that is not by going, well, I'm going to be a better dead branch. That just sounds crazy to even say, doesn't it? I want to be a what? Connected, living branch, because the life of the true vine flows in me and in you. Now, I don't get to determine if you are connected to the vine. Did you know that? Neither does Rick, neither does Harold. Larry, well, he doesn't have a clue. He wears pink shirts on Sunday. But anyway, nobody can tell you if you're connected to the vine. Did you know that? There's only one person who will know it for certain. You know who that is? You. Aren't y'all glad I don't get to choose who's in and out? Aren't you glad that Rick doesn't get to choose who's in and out? I am so glad that Larry doesn't get to choose who's in and out, is all I can tell you, okay? So let me ask you this question this morning. Are you connected to the vine? Because rejecting the vine is deadly. Now, for many of us, that's not our issue. For many of us, this last application will be really encouraging. You ready? Here it is. We get to rejoice in Christ's connection. If you're here today and you clearly remember that moment you trusted Christ, where you came into a relationship with him and you've you've seen growth in your existence. You know what I'm talking about? Where you've gone from being a spiritual baby to being a spiritual teenager to now you're a spiritual young adult, or maybe you're an older adult spiritually, whatever you are, wherever you are in the relationship, you can stop for a moment and do this. Don't say, look how good I am. You with me? Did you need to surrender to God to get to that point? Yes. But who's the one at work in your life? It's Christ. What he's calling these people to do is, just like a branch on a grapevine connected can produce great fruit, so too can you, if you are connected to Christ, you can produce fruit in the kingdom of God. And because you're connected to the true vine, you have at your disposal the power, the presence, the grace of Christ to accomplish great things in his kingdom. Amen. How about rejoicing in that? You know, sometimes we walk around in our spiritual lives going, oh, I gave everything up to follow Jesus. It's been such a terrible experience, and oh, it's awful. Oh, friends. What's the old song? What a friend we have in Jesus. All our cares and troubles. I'll mess the song up now. I'm not going to sing. You can preach, but I'm not going to sing. To him we bring, right? And we get to rejoice in it. And get, you know, somebody once said this, if the Son has set you free, you're what? Free indeed. How about we live that way? How about we live with the rejoicing of Christ in our lives? How about we live with the joy of our salvation all over us? Instead of walking around like, oh, it's terrible, it's awful. Oh, no. I want you to grasp, if you're in Christ, you've got something amazing. And rejoice in it. because you're connected to the vine. Maybe you're here today and you say, well, you know, I don't know what you're talking about, Patrick. I don't understand this relationship with God. I want you to know you have an opportunity today to meet him. How do I do that? You let him become your vine. What? You say to God, I can't do it. But you can. And I want to trust you. And I want to be connected to you. And I want your life to flow through me. You say, well, I've been too many things. I'm too bad. I've gone down this. I've gone down a road. No, you haven't. Do you know how I know that God still loves you and has an opportunity for you in front of you, friend? Do this. Because you're still breathing. He's not finished with you. If you're following Christ, rejoice in his salvation. If you're not yet, the opportunity's here today. Here's the conclusion, and I'm done. Decide today to abide in him alone. Father, we pray right now for those in this place, maybe those listening on our radio, that have not trusted you, that, Father, they would reach out to you in prayer and say, I'm a sinner. I need you. Would you forgive me of my sin? Would you come into my heart? Would you let me connect to you as the true vine? I want to be a branch that's worthy of fruit. Of spiritual fruit that makes a difference. Father, for some in this room, Father, that's not the prayer that we need to pray. For some, it's this prayer. God, I remember clearly when you saved me. I remember the moment I trusted you, whether maybe it was at a Bible school or a Sunday school or a youth camp or just a regular worship service at a church service or sitting down with mom and dad. I remember the moment when I trusted you. And I've allowed the joy of my salvation to be pushed aside. And I've let being a part of the vine become routine. God, we'd be so bold as to ask you to come to our lives today and do some pruning so that we can be fruitful again, that we can be joyful again, that we can rejoice in the God of our salvation again. Father, I pray for your hand to be free in these moments as we offer this altar as a place to come and do business with you, to either trust you, to publicly proclaim following you, or, Father, maybe just to spend a few moments at an altar reconnecting with you, that we would live our lives in a way that blesses you. In Jesus' name, amen.